In verse number 1, and we're going to read down through verse number 14. The Bible says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." If you underline in your Bible, underline that right there. If you highlight, underline that right there. That phrase, ye shall live. Go to verse number 6. The Bible says, "And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live." I want you to underline that or highlight it. The Bible says, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord." Verse number 7. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain," right here again, "that they may live." Underline that or highlight it. Verse number 10. "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived." Underline it. Highlight it. Is everybody with me? We're doing Bible study. All right. "And stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you." Here we go. We're going to underline this again. "And ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord." If you're reading along, and how many of y'all was here Wednesday night? Good. Y'all getting that? God wanted y'all to have his sermon twice. Amen. I prayed about this thing, and I have not taken this lightly. But I believe God wanted me to preach it again. And I believe that this is a crossroads, if you will, in our lives and in our church. I believe that where there was once vibrancy, where there was once enthusiasm, now there's some that ain't so. And I'm going to speak on that just for a little bit here in a moment. But when some are in discord, it causes others. We'll talk about that in a moment. But here at the end of the passage of the Scripture, we learn that in interpretation and where the Bible sits and where this sits and this prophecy sits, that it has not yet taken place yet, as Israel has not been restored yet. But we do know that it can apply to us. How do you know that? Because the Bible says this about God. God speaks and he tells him to prophesy, and he says in these times he will place his spirit in them. Does everybody see that? So he would place his spirit in them, would take place, come on, help me right here, with us too, right? So we want to look at this morning and understand the interpretation of these dry bones being the house of Israel, and understand the interpretation of this passage of Scripture being a fulfillment of prophecy that is yet to take place. God has not restored Israel back to her former glory yet, but in application, this applies to us. When I look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to first notice with me the characteristics of dry bones. I want you to evaluate. I want you to look in your own life and see maybe if you have some of these characteristics yourself. I want you to be honest with yourself. Because as we talked about this morning, it's easy to look back on our life and pick out all the good things and ignore the bad. It's up to you to be honest with yourself this morning. I want revival. I want our church to experience revival. But our church will not experience revival because of a meeting. We've had meetings since I've been here. We've had revival meetings since I've been here. And our church has not experienced a revival. Individuals have experienced revival, and praise the Lord for it. But our church as a whole has not experienced revival. We've had some great, phenomenal speakers in. Brother C.T. Townsend had come in and he's preached and did a phenomenal job. You have Brother Brent Carr comes in, he preaches, does a phenomenal job. Jonathan McNeese comes in, he does a fantastic job. Jason Hawley, one of the best revivals I thought that we had. I mean, Brother Jason come in and he spoke and did a phenomenal job. Brandon Cruz comes in, he speaks. Man, we had a good time. E.J. comes in, he speaks, we had a good time. But the fact of the matter is it doesn't matter what kind of meeting we have, and it doesn't matter what preacher I bring in. Revival is something that takes place in the hearts and the lives of individuals, not in a meeting. Can't emphasize that enough. And some preacher that thinks he has the key to revival, he doesn't. We have not seen revival in churches. Because revival is something that takes place on the inside of us. I started off with the characteristics of the bones because here's what the Bible says in verse number 11 about them. It says in the second part of that verse, it says, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. I believe this is where a lot of Christians live right now. We have salvation and we have eternal life, but we live a hopeless life. We feel like salvation is a fulfillment of a godly life, and it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking anything away from it. I'm looking forward to the glorification of my body, meaning that I will no longer be here, but I'll be in His presence. Praise the Lord for that. There ain't a better finish line to cross than that right there. But I'm trying to say that we can live while we're here. And God has a desire for us to live. Over and over in the passage of Scripture, I had you to underline or to highlight the words that they may live. Do you know this morning God wants you to live? But too many times we let everything in the world keep us in dry places. God took a prophet. And He took him and laid him, put him in a valley of dry bones and told him to walk around and to look. Brings me to point number one, the characteristics of bones. The characteristics of bones. I want you to listen to a couple of characteristics. I've added one, but dry bones, this is the one that I added. Dry bones are evidence that there was once life. Hey, I better stay up here. If I get down there, this will be a 3-hour sermon. Dry bones are evidence that there was once life. I believe that God is speaking to us an application that He wants us to live again. The way that we once lived when we first got saved. Not before we got saved, but how the experience and the joy that we felt when we got saved. When we grabbed a hold of salvation and our slate was clean, and all of a sudden before God we've seen ourselves as justified and free from bondage. That's where God wants us to live. That's what God wants us to experience. David said, create in me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Why? Because everything in the world tries to steal that from you. A thief cometh, but to steal and to kill. Dry bones are evidence that life once existed. If you're saved in this building, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not saved in this building, you can experience it today. But most Christians describe it like this. Preacher, I feel like a burden has been lifted off of me. Even people that ain't been around church. Even people that don't know the lingo of the church. When they get saved, say, I feel like a burden has been lifted. I feel free. Oh, to be, come on, help me, y'all. To be like that again. Can these bones live? Yes, they can. Dry bones are evidence that life once existed. Dry bones discolor, though. Dry bones discolor. If you ever seen a bone when it comes out of flesh, you'll know that it's completely different in color as one that's been sitting out and dried up. We was cutting grass this week and we were going around and I got off to the side picking up some trash where people had thrown out in the woods, and I was picking it up and over there laid where somebody had thrown out a dog. And it already had, the flesh had already come off of it and the bones were falling apart and it had dried up. Far different. Right? Is everybody with me? Far different than coming out of the flesh. Many of you know, coming out of the flesh of deer hunters, we got, y'all butchered pigs or whatever. If you hadn't, then you're missing out on a great blessing. Somebody say amen. But dry bones discolor. They change. Their countenance changes. Some of you trying to convince everybody that you ain't a dry bone, but it's written all over your face. Can't even look me in the eyes, can't even smile, can't even be nice to me. Do me a favor, get out. I know it ain't a Sunday morning sermon, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. There's something better for you than go find it. Tired of it. I'm hurting. Me and my family have been put through the ringer, and I ain't going to be put through the ringer by you. You don't like it here, then go on. I'll replace you by next week with somebody that loves the Lord and wants to do something. It's written all over your face. I want you to live again. But if you refuse to do so, then I want you to be happy wherever you're at, somewhere else. Dry bones are evidence that life once existed. Dry bones discolor, a countenance changes. Dry bones detach from others. See, when bones dry, they won't hang around. I can take you to that skeleton of that dog and what once was a rib cage that housed a heart and lungs. But Paul, it's all on the ground now in pieces. Because dry bones don't stay together. And when people are drying up, their countenance changes. They discolor, but then they detach. They withdraw from the church. They withdraw from the things of God. They withdraw from the people of God. Dry bones detach from others. So if you're in here this morning and maybe you've detached, don't get quiet. Sermon might be for you this morning. Dry bones are, they harden and become unresponsive. just the definition of dry means that moisture is out of it. It hardens. And it doesn't matter what preacher comes in. It doesn't matter what the message is. It doesn't matter what passage of scripture. It doesn't matter what song is sung. It doesn't matter how many people are nice. It doesn't matter any of that. Why? Because we harden and become unresponsive. Anybody ever had that with a teenager? I need somebody to say amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They harden and they become unresponsive. Dry bones, listen to this, become brittle. They harden, but they become brittle in that they break easily. Say, well, now how can that be? I want you to think about a hard piece of candy. Ever dropped a hard piece of candy on the ground? How about this? This is my problem right now. We got an ice maker, and you put that cup under there, and it spits out ice at the speed of light. I mean, like a, is everybody with me? It's like an automatic weapon. And ice goes all over the floor. Right? And here's the thing. One of them hard pieces of ice hits that tile floor in our kitchen, and guess what happens? And guess what I do? Shell! Because I've learned that I can never clean it up as good as she does. They shatter. They shatter easy. Which means that when they come up against something hard, they get real easily offended about it. Get broke all up. Harden themselves, unresponsive, and when something hard hits them, they break into pieces, shatter, go all over the place. I need somebody to help me. This is exactly what happens in churches when they run off to the next preacher and tell them about how bad the other preacher was to them. If they got real honest about it, they probably got hard. And he preached a message that stepped on their toes. And they got offended. And broke. Is everybody with me? I know something else about a characteristic of a bone. I'm just the last one. Is that they have the tendency when they splinter or when they shatter that they splinter. And they can cause injuries to others. I need somebody to help me. Hard piece of glass dropped on the floor. But everybody that has a hand in trying to put it back together and pick it up. Everybody who works to make sure that it gets cleaned up. And everybody that works to make sure that they're taken care of and that it. They end up, come on y'all, help me. They get cut. They end up bleeding, Miss Tammy, over something that they had nothing to do with because somebody else got hard and shattered. Everybody all right? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying be careful if you're any of these bones. The fact that you are a bone says that life once existed. I'm going to say that again. The fact that you are bone says that life once existed. And God's teaching us here in the scripture that life once existed in this valley. And as the prophet walked around and as he looked at these dry bones, a question was posed to him, can they live? Let me answer it how he would have. God, only you. God, only you. They can, but only you can make them live again. Dry bones, the characteristics. Number two, the consideration for dry bones. We see the characteristics of dry bones, and maybe tonight, or maybe today, You're a dry bone, and be honest about it. Maybe you need God to breathe life back into you again. Number two, the consideration for dry bones. I want you to know that God, first off, is interested in dry bones. Is everybody all right? God, we find God taking a prophet and placing him in a valley where there was dry bones to prophesy unto them. God could have moved on. God could have went somewhere else. God could have took something else and said, I'll make life in it. I'll breathe life in it. But God said, these dry bones are important. So I want you to notice God's interested in dry bones. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11 says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Romans chapter number 8, 38 and 39 says, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Matthew chapter number 10, verse 29 and 31 says, Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. I want you to know God's interested in you this morning. No matter how ugly it is, no matter how bad it is, God is interested in you this morning. Consideration for dry bones. Number two, we see that God's interested in dry bones, but God's intention for dry bones. I had you underlined it. What was God's intention for dry bones? That they would live. That's what God wants from you, is that you would live. But not just live. I need somebody to help me right here. The Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they may or they might have it more abundantly. So God not only wants us to have life, but he wants us to have it more abundantly. How do we get that life? It's only through him. John 11, 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I want you to consider this morning that God's interested in you. And God's intention for your life is for you to live. Not live in a place of hopelessness. As Israel was in verse number 11, when they said our bones are dry and our hope is lost. That ain't where God wants us living. That ain't where God wants you living. He wants you to live life and live it more abundantly. We see the characteristics of dry bones. We see the consideration. I notice under consideration, God's interested in us, God's intentions for us, but God's investment in dry bones. God invests in dry bones. I want you to think about this. God sent a preacher to preach to dry bones. God could have left them laying in the valley. God could have left them go on, but God sent a preacher to the valley, to the dry bones, to preach to them. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say not only is God interested in you and not only is God's intention for your life is for you to live, but God will do everything that he can to make sure that happens and he will invest in you by sending you a preacher. A preacher that'll preach out of Ezekiel chapter number 37 when most people don't even know where it is. He'll invest in you. He sent a preacher. He sent a preacher that was full of faith. I need somebody to help me. Ezekiel stood there and he preached to dry bones. He preached to a bunch of skeletons. I don't know about y'all. I need somebody to help me right here. But I imagine old Ezekiel stood there and said, "You sure about this?" No, he had a lot more faith than we did. Had a lot more faith than I did. But he had faith and he displayed it by preaching what thus saith the Lord to a valley full of bones. What do we expect God to do? Come in and make us like a robot and make us give up the things of bitterness, the anger, the wrath, the malice, the whatever is keeping us from living? God said, "I sent a preacher. A preacher that preached what I asked him to preach. A preacher that did it with the faith that you'd live again." God invested in these dry bones. He invested by giving him a preacher. And he invested by preaching to them. And the Bible says that he prophesied to them what thus saith the Lord. God gave him his precepts. I need somebody to help me right here. If we're looking for God to speak to us, He has. We're looking for a new word from the Lord. You get a fresh word from the Lord. Because I don't think any of us, this preacher included, has got all this down. God's given us a word. It's a living word. And God uses a preacher and the preaching of his word to reach dry bones. So we see the characteristics of dry bones. We see the consideration of dry bones. I used the illustration the other night of the prodigal. The prodigal came home. The father was waiting. The father welcomed him in, even though he'd been in a pigsty. God's waiting this morning. If you'll begin towards him, he'll run to you. Lastly, and I'm done, the challenge for dry bones. We have the characteristics of dry bones. We see the consideration of dry bones, but I want you to notice the challenge for dry bones. And it's simple. It's to receive life, to receive revival. But it takes place in a process. Lord, help me with this and studying it this past week, but the process of revival doesn't happen in one service. As much as we want it to, and as much as we think that there's this magic potion that just poof, and everything's going to be all right, and we're going to be right back where we were, it does not work that way. Ezekiel didn't preach, and then all of a sudden they became living bodies that were walking around. Look at the scripture. The Bible says that there was a shaking. There was a noise. There was a shaking. And the bones came together. Then after the bones came together, the sinews joined the bones together. Then the flesh covered the sinew. And then the skin came upon the flesh. And then the Bible says that even after all of that, there was still no life. And so God had Ezekiel prophesy to the wind. And the breath of God entered into them. Oh, I need somebody to help me. And they stood up an exceeding great army. There was a process. It ain't going to happen in one service. It ain't going to happen with one trip to the altar. It ain't going to happen when there ain't no preaching and all we did was sing all morning. Or all we did was sing all night. It's going to happen when a work begins in our heart and continues. As we come and we give more and more and more, God puts more and more and more life back in us. It's a process. It's a process. But not only did I notice that, but revival is a process, but I notice that revival is a disturbance. I like this part. The Bible says that there was a noise. And what else? A shaking. Revival takes place in our lives as a process, but listen to me, God has to shake some things up. See, you can't have an experienced revival living where you're at right now. So God has to shake some things up. I need somebody to help me. How many has ever said, God, why is this happening to me? Maybe God can answer for us and say, I'm trying to get you back together. I can't get you together. I can't put you back together until I shake some things up around you. You've been laying in this valley too long. You forgot what it was like to walk. You forgot what it was like to talk. You forgot what it was like to have an intimate relationship with me. You've forgotten a lot of things. A lot of things have come between me and you. He said, I can't put you back together until I mess some things up in your life. Till I stir some things together. I got something that'll fix it. Like Michelle's mama. God help. Is everybody all right? I'm hurting, Jewel. I'll fix something up for you, baby. What am I fixing to eat? You don't want to know. Better than anything you can buy at the store. I need somebody to help me. Just do what I tell you. Sometimes God got to get in there. Is everybody all right? Listen right here. I ain't going to be able to fix this in the normal way. Can't just open a pill bottle and fix this one. Put a little bit of this in there. Put a little bit of that in there. Mix it all together. And I'm going to fix you up. There was a disturbance. For revival to take place in our hearts, there's going to have to be a disturbance of our lives. We see the process of revival, the disturbance of revival, and lastly, the avenue of revival. The avenue of revival has always been and will always be an emphasis on the Word of God. A revival meeting without the Word of God is not a revival meeting. I need somebody to help me. We've gotten so entertainment driven. And we've gotten so sensual that unless we have this goosebump experience, then God didn't show up. When we put an emphasis on music, when we put an emphasis on programs, when we put an emphasis on fellowship, when we put the emphasis on anything other than the Word of God, then we're putting the emphasis on the wrong thing. As I told you when we were in Israel, the synagogues was a place where they open God's word and read from it. Seated, not a pulpit. And they read from God's word maybe explained it, and let God's word be true. And all men liars. An emphasis on the word of God. An eagerness for the filling of the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to be revived, I'm going to have to put an emphasis on God's word and an eagerness for the filling of the Holy Spirit, which means that I'm going to have to, number three, you have an emptying of self. See, the filling of the Holy Spirit comes when we give God more of us. To give God more of us, we got to get us out of us. So an emptying of self. And I added this one. An engagement in the work of God. So where do you get that from? I'm glad you asked. Verse number 10 says, "So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army." God had a purpose for them. He didn't say they stood on their feet a great people. He could have described them anyway, a great number of bodies, great number of people, a great number of souls. But he says, an exceeding great army. And what's the purpose of an army? To conquer. Revival happens when I put an emphasis on the Word of God, when I have a desire or eagerness for the Holy Spirit to fill me, when I have an emptying of self, and when I engage in ministry. Ministry is tough. Ministry is tough. You have to minister to people that look at you just like they'd like to cut your head off when you've been there for their family the whole time and you loved them. Amen. They done been shattered, been hurt, something else, whatever, and blame it on the preacher. They look you in your face and want to kill you. And I'm supposed to love them. Ministry's hard. But if I don't stay engaged in ministry, Brother Scott, I'll be just like them. And the last thing I want to do is become hard and shatter. Because while they may shatter and they'll mess up their little circle of 3 or 4 people, I shatter and I'm messing up 300 to 400. Ministry is difficult, but it's essential that you and I get involved and stay involved. I used the illustration Wednesday night, and I'm going to use it again because I like it. But at Christmas time, we put together them presents. And us men, we don't need instructions. It doesn't matter how complicated it is. We do not need to read the instructions. Go away. Don't you have something womanly to do? Go. Just leave me alone. I'm all right. All I need is a screwdriver, a hammer, channel locks, and duct tape. We get to putting that thing together. Boy, we get all the way. I mean, we got it all. It's all looking like the picture. Because that's all we need. You show me the outside picture, I can do it, right? No matter how many inward parts there is in it, outside picture, I can figure it out. But there comes a point in time, and every man has done it. This is where we get really mad. But every one of us has done it where we had to stop, go dig the instructions out of the trash can, open them up and figure out where in the world the English-speaking part is. Because the instructions are in Chinese, Japanese, Mexicanese, and all them other names, all right? Portuguese. And I'm sitting there, I find English, and I'm like, okay, I can understand this. I think, is that English? Everybody with me? Somebody asked me, can you speak other language? I can't even speak English. Look at it, and I'm like, all right. I did that. I didn't do that. So then I got to tear apart everything I done put together by the picture. Get back to that step and start working my way back up to where I was at. But I had to get a hold of the instructions to be able to do so. So today, my challenge, as it was Wednesday night, was that these dry bones may live again. But it's a process. It's going to take some disturbance. But the only avenue to it is going to be through an emphasis on the Word of God, an eagerness for the filling of the Holy Spirit, an emptying of self, and an engagement in the work of God. She's coming to the piano, heads are bowed with me. You're coming to the altar. Lord, I pray, God, that you would work, Lord, like only you can. Lord, I pray that you touch some individuals this morning. The challenge is that it's up to them. They can live. You want them to live. But not in a valley of dry bones. I pray this morning that you'd speak. Minister. Lord, that you get honor and glory out of their lives. Heads bowed this morning. I wonder if there's somebody in here, to be honest with the preacher, and maybe there's never been life in you. Oh, you breathe, you speak, you walk around, you touch, see, hear. But the breath of God has never been upon you. Maybe you'd say it something like this, preacher, there's never been a time in my life where I have received Christ as my personal Savior. And preacher, standing here today or sitting here today, I do not know if I died, if I'd go to heaven. With nobody looking around, I ask that question to you. If you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven if I died, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to just lift your hand up. Just high enough for me to see you. I know how to end the service. Preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity if I was to die. Is there anybody like that? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you. Lord, for a wonderful service. I thank you for your people. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to live again. Breathe life, Lord, back into us. Create in us a clean heart. Restore unto us the joy of salvation. Lord, that we may live again. In Jesus' name we pray.